Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, it's another Retro IA Ottima. We're back on the 14th of June, 2010 now. I remember that the ITV screwing up the World Cup, or whatever it was that was playing at the time. That doesn't seem like 10 years ago, does it? The rest of this episode looks like the ravings of a lunatic, which it probably was. There's Dettol in there. There's Tam Diel. Chris Akabusi's coming in to play, and King Herod. What more do you want from a topical show than that? That is 10 years old. If you enjoy these, please support us. Become a badger at gofasterstrike.com/badges or buy some downloads or books at gofasterstrike.com or go to twitch.tv/RKHerring. If you're with Amazon Prime, you can give us £5 every single month at no cost to yourself. It takes a little moment to link your accounts. There's a video in my YouTube channel, Herring1967, if you're confused. And then you just have to come back every month and click subscribe. And then I get £3.50 of the £5, and we'll plough all of that money and the badge money into making more content for you once this terrible situation is over in about 5 to 10 years' time. Hope you're enjoying this retro as it occurs to me. I know I have enjoyed the few moments that I have listened to. What a weird thing it was. Goodbye. Now listen to the thing.
As it occurs to me, as it occurs to me, as it occurs to me.
And please welcome the baby it's all occurred to this week, tiny, tiny Andrew Collings.
Hello, audience. I love you. Aside, I don't. I think you're all cockholes. Let's see what's occurred to me this week.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Stop this right now. Get that baby out of here. I thought we got rid of this pox of Tiny Collingses. I promised the real Andrew Collings that there will be none of the Tiny Collingses on this show anymore.
Fuck Andrew Collings.
Stop, stop. Don't say that. He really doesn't like what we're doing. I don't want you on anymore either. You're overrunning this thing like vermin. It was funny to begin with. It's gone too far. It's not funny anymore. And this is my show.
No, it's mine. It's mine.
It's not. You can't have a baby presenting a show about what's happened to them this week. What will that be? I slept all day long, did a poo in my nappy, and sucked on the dry dugs of a barren old woman. Though actually, looking at the script, that's pretty much what happened to me. But then I got off the bus. To it. Don't encourage it. It's the fictional spawn of an incestuous relationship, and it'd be better if it disappeared back up the cloaca it came out of. What a cloaca lacka dack dack that was. 43 years old. Come here, tiny, tiny Andrew Collings. I want us to audition for the next series of Britain's Got Talent.
No, no, don't throw me.
It's all right, I'll catch you. Oh, I missed. I've got butterfingers. Me and the girlfriend watched Last Tango in Paris last night. One thing led to another. So are you all right, tiny, tiny Andrew Collings?
I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
Aside, I'm not. I'm dead.
Oh, he's dead. Oh dear, what a pity, never mind. One down, two to go. Will no one rid me of these tiny turbulent Collingses? No, they won't, so I'll have to do it myself. Great, only 2 minutes in and I've already killed a baby. I think it's going to be a good show. Check on if you like tiny, tiny Andrew Collings. You am a twat. My desire to kill off any popular characters just as they look like they might catch on is one of the things that will ensure I am never successful. Anyway, welcome to Series 2, Show 5 of AI Otima. Don't you even know what that is yet? I do. It's the internet stand-up and sketch show based on stuff that's happened to me or that I've thought about this week, which I cogitate over for 48 hours before I spew it out over a live audience every Monday night, and which then gets shat straight onto the internet without anything edited out. It's a passing diversion for your commute to work or your trip to the gym, but for me, it's a living purgatory, which destroys my weekend, puts untold strain on my relationship, and takes years off my life. I hate you, I hate you all, but most of all, I hate myself. And please welcome the people assisting me in my world of wacky, zany fun, the second-choice goalkeepers fumbling even my cheapest shots and ensuring I spend another 4 years without any kind of trophy, 43 years of hurt. It's Dan Tetzel, TV's Emma Kennedy, and on the guitar, Christian Riley!
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Has anything occurred to you this week, Dan?
I've become the thing I hate. I got an iPhone.
Hooray! Join us!
I don't want to talk. No, I don't want to talk
it's
about it.
It's iPads now, Grandad. Pin
Pod! Call it by its proper name.
I'm still a cunt, whatever.
Well done. I hope you enjoy playing games. I'm very good. You should play Yahtzee. I'm very good at 702. That's the score to beat. It's pretty fucking impressive. It takes a few months of playing it constantly to achieve that level of success. Christian O'Reilly, what has occurred to you this week?
This week, in my neighbourhood, the People's Supermarket has opened up. Do you have one in your neighbourhood?
No.
It's great. It's a cooperative, right? If you're a member and you work there 4 hours a month, you get a heavy discount.
Wow.
And, you know... Anyway.
Are you doing that?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah. So I was Can you not come in next week? Are you working on Monday nights?
Yes, sorry. They pay too much money. That'll make me a sellout. They pay £86.12. So anyway, I'm walking past and I shop there, but the woman there, really, she's really canvassing hard. I've got my son, he's like two, and she's really canvassing hard, going, like, you should come down and work here. I'm like, I don't know, I can't quite, I've got a bit of a busy life, bit of a, you know, and she was canvassing so hard, I just went, look, me and my son's mother are having a bit of a complicated time at the moment, and I'm staying with a friend. And that's why I'm around here. And she went, there was a beat, and then she went, still, it could be just the thing to take your mind off.
Yes. She might be right. I think you should give it a go. That's what this show's for, Christian. Sorry, we got accidentally brought up again. Emma, what's happened to you?
Well, I've been in trouble twice this week on Twitter. Both times World Cup related. Is anyone here watching... The World Cup?
No, yeah, that's why they're here.
So the first time was during the England match, and I posted a tweet just after Rob Green had fumbled the ball and let the ball in, where I suggested that he was going to be taken to the dressing room at half time and arse raped by wolves. And that wasn't
the football team or the animal?
No, the animal. That's not wishful thinking on my part. Fabio Capello has a pack of wolves that anally invade the soft anuses of top flight footballers when they fuck up. That's not just a myth. That's a factoid squared. Anyway, that
comment... I'm glad there's more bumming in here because there's not enough in this week's script, I have to tell you. So.
That comment went unnoticed. You know, some people are like, ha, 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 ha. Anyway, then he saved the next one with a little bit of help from the woodwork. And I said that his anal raping was going to be downgraded to a being arse raped by a pipistrel bat. The outrage that then ensued, it was unbelievable. One woman actually threatened to report me to Twitter because I'd suggested that a pipistrel bat would rape a grown man. And then I thought to myself...
Did anyone say that if he wanted it, it wasn't rape? That might have been it.
Well, exactly. Well, this is the thing. Has anyone in this room ever been, maybe in a hotel room, with a pipistrel bat and had consensual sex? Anal sex, so, you know, I might be being unfair to gay pipistrel bats because straight pipistrel bats can do it too. But have you ever been in
If
a...
I was, I'd be the postman, not the letterbox. That's all I'm saying. So.
So that was...
Because mainly because I don't think a bat's penis would have that much effect on my... Even on my
well,
lovely tight anus.
You
I
say
think,
that.
I
say
think
that,
the
but
a bat's
a woman...
tiny penis would not do all that
well,
much for me.
That,
whereas
you?
My some tiny penis would have a lot of effect on a bat. That is the beauty
well,
of it. It would
split,
rip it apart.
It would split it into four, not just
more
of
that later.
And then, so that was the first one.
Oh
and then,
my God. And then I thought that was both of them.
No, that was, and then the second one was I was really, really told off for just going, boo, Germany. What the
xenophobic,
fuck?
Xenophobic.
I know, but come on. We're allowed to boo the bloody Germans in the World Cup, aren't
they are,
we?
The Ger- yeah.
Yeah, thank you very
and
much.
And the Germans aren't a race either, so it's not racist. They wanted to be a race, but they're not, so...
That's me this week.
Well, interesting on that subject. This week we have all literally gone football mad. The constant droning of men in the crowd blowing into those vulva things. What a liberal country South Africa is, and how accommodating and large vagina'd are its women folk. It's affected our mental balance and made us all demented. It's not a laughing matter. We've all been sectioned for the safety of the public and are recording this week's show in a modern-day bedlam, milling around with all the other crazies. Say hello, everyone.
Hello!
So, no different than every other week. So, here's a special World Cup roundup of what has occurred to me this week.
Saturday.
Watching the Nigerians playing this afternoon, I wondered if anyone had come up with an informal, shortened nickname for this side. Because the one I'd thought of, I thought was probably unacceptable. No one wants to be called the Nigels. Chick.
Sunday.
Finally, the biggest debate in soccer was about to be settled. Who is best at football, Algeria or Slovenia? The world was waiting on tenterhooks to find out, and it turned out one of them was better than the other one. I can't remember which one I turned out. I tuned out a bit, to be honest. But one of these useless sides had a green kit, and I wondered if maybe England might be able to win some games if their kit was exactly the same colour of the grass. So they were camouflaged, and they'd be invisible and be able to play by stealth. No one would be able to see them. It would have the slight drawback that they might not be able to pass to each other, but to be honest, they aren't really very good at that anyway, so I think it would help us.
Sunday!
A lot of people were still upset about England's failure to beat the USA, but I kept explaining to everyone I could that these days international sides are much more equal and all the scores are going to be draws or one goal victories, and that nobody in the modern World Cup finals is going to beat anyone 3 or 4 nil. Then I settled down to watch Germany play Australia, and If any team was going to prove me wrong, I'm sure we'll all agree, thank goodness it was Germany. Still, on the bright side, around the same time, I did learn that James Corden made it to number one in the pop charts. So that was some good news. To be honest, I'd like to see him on TV a bit more often, actually. Don't let me back on telly TV executives. Not until you've had James Corden on quite a lot more in everything. And also, while you're here, could you try and show that trailer for the Lee Nelson show more often, if possible? It's not on quite enough.
As it occurs to shout, shout, we're going out. England or shit, of that there's no doubt. Come on, you knew all along their prongs.
I think rather than having James Corden doing the World Cup song, I think we should just stuck him in the goal. I think it'd have been hard to score against him, but despite the hysteria that England's 1-1 draw, or delight if you're from anywhere else in the UK. Okay, hello there, Scotland, how you doing? Oh, where's my love for bread? They lick my love for bread. Oh, begorrer, I think I am Irish. It's hardly a disaster. Who would you rather have representing you? The uber-efficient, ultra-professional, cup-winning champions that are Germany, or the bumbling, ball-fumbling twazzocks that are England? You get what you deserve. England represent you because they are you. We're all a little bit shit, but sometimes by luck we manage to win through, you never know. But as a nation, after 5 seconds of incompetency, we veered from an unrealistic, swaggering position, we're definitely going to win the World Cup, to a simpering, petulant, childish assertion, oh, we're the shittiest team of all time. Get over it, you English pricks. Anything can happen. It's the first game. I still believe we can do this. We obviously won't, but we might do. Don't know. I missed most of the game because I was driving up to Northampton for a gig. Well, Earl Spartan. But, yeah, they've got a good church there, I hear. Didn't see it. I hope no one of the ITV team dared to criticise Robert Green after they made an even worse error than he did that meant millions, including me, missed the all-important England goal because the ITV HD channel had accidentally gone to some adverts just as Gerrard was scoring. I believe everyone is allowed to make one mistake, even though ITV also did exactly the same thing during the FA Cup a couple of years ago. Let's ignore that. And as a show of good faith, I've agreed to let ITV to be responsible for the safe downloading of this podcast onto the internet tonight. I think you'll see my faith is justified. People make mistakes. Of course, we should let Robert Green have another go as well. Come on, just don't judge people from one mistake. Of course, you've probably heard all the Robert Green jokes, but I don't think you'll find one as good as this. What is the difference between Robert Green and Air Chief Marshal Jock Stirrup? Huh? Give up? Well, one of them...
Coming up on ITV1.
It's the Jeremy Kyle Show.
Hi, this is Jeremy Kyle, the human equivalent of an embarrassing fleck of shit that has attached itself to your cock as you're having unprotected anal sex with a stranger, which then unexpectedly flies onto their forehead when you're finishing yourself off over their face, but which you're too embarrassed to tell them about. Welcome to my show.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
A little twisty turn on that one.
That was brilliant, oh, Rich.
People are still laughing.
Such an unexpected twist.
I took you. I took you one way, then I subverted your expectations.
I think that might have been your best joke ever. Oh, wait till the loaded laughters hear that one, eh?
Just doing my job. Now over to one of the many celebrities waiting to congratulate England on their performance in the World Cup. Hello, the new Sassanaxit Daniel here. Careful with that bookcase you have. Didn't you know how much it costs? I just wanted to say well done, England, with your one ultra ricket. The Yankee Doodle Dandies. You've made all of us Scotch people in Scotland very happy indeed. We may hardly have a qualifier, sirs, but seeing you fucking up every certain time makes up for that, though. Where were you in Argentina in 1978? Nowhere, that's where.
That was Tam Diel.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tuesday.
I was out for a walk with my girlfriend down by the river, going to have a nice pub lunch to make up for not seeing her all weekend because of this stupid fucking show.
Oh, this is lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking me out again.
Second time, 2 weeks.
I think you may be the best... You may be the best boyfriend who's ever lived.
Well, I don't think there's any maybe about that. Thanks.
Oh, I listened to the podcast this morning. It's very funny stuff.
Yeah, you know, I wrote that all on the day. I don't know how I got away with it again. I'm definitely not doing that next week, I tell you that.
Yeah, you didn't tell me you'd written a sketch about me.
Oh, didn't I?
No. You know, about how you fantasise about me pushing me into that pond. Yeah. It's very funny.
Yeah, I know, but it's just a joke. Whenever we're near water, I do have this urge to push you in, but just because it'd be the worst possible thing to do, and it'd be so inconvenient for both of us.
Yeah, mainly me, though.
So. Arguably, yeah.
So you want to push me in the Thames now, do you?
A little bit.
Even though it's a 10-foot drop to the river and the water's filthy and I might catch rat syphilis.
Exactly because of that, to be honest. It would be so wrong. It would be funny. It's just funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be really hilarious.
Is there a problem here?
No, I love you telling the world that you want to push me in bodies of water, and even if I didn't, I wouldn't complain, because I know how lucky I am to have ended up with you.
That's true.
A short, fat, old man who has had a Hitler moustache for a third of our relationship. Who snores louder than an orchestra of vuvuzelas and manages to fart in harmony with the snores. Disgusting, toxic, almost adhesive farts that could be used as chemical weapons, can't be dispersed by even the most frenetic wafting, and might even possibly qualify as life forms. Nyum, nyum, nyum.
You sure you're not cross about something? I can always tell almost instinctively something's bothering you. It's like telepathy or something. I'm very sensitive. Oh, sorry. It's
no.
It's going to take some time to get rid of that.
Oh, he has actually farted. No, I love being on the show, and I especially love the way Emma Kennedy portrays
well,
me.
Well, come on, Emma's portrayal of you is quite respectful. Apart from that one time she did you as a kind of troll, but that was just a joke.
She's... Yeah, yeah. Can't you see it, Richard? She can't disguise her disdain for me. She clearly hates me because she's jealous of me. I mean, God knows why, but she obviously loves you.
I don't think so. Think that. You're being paranoid.
You can hear the longing in her voice. She desperately wishes that your strange, frond-like, bifurcated penis was deep inside her. Probably inside her anus, I'm guessing. But inside her nonetheless.
My strange frond-like bife. You said you like my frond-like penis.
I don't. It freaks me out.
Well, I know a lot of kangaroos who would beg to differ. I imagine. I can promise you I will never have sex with Emma Kennedy. I once had to kiss her, and it was worse than rimming Anne Widdecombe's unwiped arse. Again, I am imagining there. Well, what are you doing?
Hey, I've got a good joke for you.
No, don't. No, get off me. No.
You're right. Pushing you in the water is pretty funny.
No, that's not. It's not funny at all. It's only funny when you or a small child get pushed into someone. It isn't funny when it's me.
Obviously. It is funnier.
It isn't. A fat man being pushed into some water is never funny. Especially if he has a frond-like bifurcated penis which just pops out as he's falling off the wharf. You don't understand comedy at all.
As it occurs to me, attempting slapstick comedy in purely an audio medium.
Getting a bit nifty with those special effects now. Look at us go. And it was terrible. I only ended up with rat syphilis, didn't I, after that? Not from the water, just... When I crawled out of the river, there were a couple of rats there winking at me lasciviously on the bank. One thing led to another. I fucked them both at once. Actually, that is one of the advantages of the tiny bifurcated penis, the double penetration that you can get from that too.
Wednesday.
Western civilization is on the point of collapse and the planet Earth is doomed. Sorry to break it to you like that, but there's no easy way. On Wednesday, I saw an advert for a new product that proves it's over for us all. Al-Qaeda are right. Dettol have created, I don't know if you've seen this, a no-hand soap dispenser. Anyone seen this advert? It's on kind of late at night. It's kind of a soap dispenser. You don't have to push the top. You just put your hands underneath and the soap automatically comes out. And it's for people who are afraid they might get germs from pushing the pump on their regular soap dispenser that they've previously touched with dirty hands. To explain more, will you please welcome the team that came up with this astonishing product, Lionel Cosgrave and Amelia Ellis.
Hello. All right. Yeah. Hi. Yeah. Hi.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming in. So you came up with the Dettol no-hand soap dispenser. Are you proud of yourselves?
Oh, God, yeah. I'm incredibly proud, Richard. Yeah. I mean, you know, like, there's an extremely competitive market trying to screw money out of the paranoid and those with the obsessive-compulsive disorder.
You know, there's antibacterial soaps and wipes and sprays designed to kill germs pretty much everywhere now.
Yeah, yeah, and it was pretty hard to think of anywhere that we could convince the borderline mentally ill that germs were still lurking. I mean, it looked like they were going to be able to hold on to some of their money, and money that we desperately needed for cocaine.
And we managed to persuade people to move from an unhygienic bar of soap to a liquid soap dispenser.
Which was genius, you know, as soap, but liquid soap you can charge a lot more money for.
Yeah. And let's not forget that it meant that there was a whole lot more unnecessary packaging made of plastic, which would take eons to biodegrade.
Genius, yeah. We'd be leaving our mark on the world, that's for sure. Why waste time trying to create great art and literature when a plastic bottle will outlive us all of that?
You know? But where was there left to go? And it was you that spotted it, wasn't it, Lionel?
Yeah, guilty as charged, yeah. I realised that the paranoid chumps would have to press the top of the pump with their dirty hand.
And if we could market this right, we could make people think that pressing the button on top of a soap dispenser was as dangerous as licking round the piss-stained rim of a shit-flecked public toilet.
Yeah. Yeah, hence the no-hand soap dispenser, which uses even more plastic, plus some batteries, and which we can charge even more for.
And you don't think anyone would... You didn't think anyone would point out to you that it didn't matter if people picked up germs by pushing their pump because they were just about to wash their hands, and if your soap worked, would this kill any germs that they'd inadvertently picked up?
Yeah, I mean, the people we're targeting with our
campaign.
Well, they're thankfully too dim and afraid of the world to notice that sort of thing.
I don't see how the no hand touch system really helps people with OCD anyway, because once you've washed your hands, you'll need to turn the tap off, won't you? On the sink, the tap that you've turned on with your unclean, germ-covered hand, and so you'll still end up with germs all over you from the tap.
Oh, my God, Richard, you're right.
Yeah. We'll need to create a no-hands water dispensing device.
Which heats the water inside the bottle before dispensing.
Oh, think how much plastic and how many batteries we'll need for that. That's...
And how many bottles of it people will get through a week.
Oh, that is genius. Thanks, Rich. We'll get to work on it straight away. You've helped us steal money from the weak and desecrate the planet Earth in super quick time.
Only in destroying find IEs. Yes, it's a quote from Milton's Paradise Lost. Well spotted. So, thank you. It's not just jokes about bumming, it's... jokes about bumming, and then occasionally I say just a line from literature. Thank you. That doesn't really fit in. Thank you. To be or not to be. Thank you, Linehorn Amelia. People more evil than Derek Bird and the Crossbow Cannibal put together, and yet still free out in the open to continue their diabolic work.
As it occurs to me, cloaca like a duck.
Time for another celebrity message for the England football team.
Hello there. It's no, it's not.
Oh. You always have trouble, Gary.
Hello,
remembering your voice.
Yeah.
You are dead, so it's fine.
Hey there. It's me, Gary Coleman, here from Different Strokes. What am I talking about? You know, before the England-USA match, I was talking... Is this all right? Is this fine? Don't worry about this. Before the England-USA match, I was talking to an ex-astronaut and Scotland goalkeeper who said England would definitely win. I said, what are you talking about, Bob Wilson? And this joke would be funnier if, as I thought at the time, he'd been called Bob Willis. But Bob Willis is, of course, a cricketer. But I only found that out when I looked it up on Wikipedia. But then it was too late to back out of the joke. So I thought I'd try and front it out. Yeah, I didn't. It didn't work. It didn't work. Anyway, well done, England, for managing a tie against the mighty US of A. Well done. Get on, Dale. Get on.
Good. So let's go down into our audience. God for the performers. Let's go down to the audience to see if anything has occurred to anyone in the audience tonight. Hands up if you've got... There's a straight up man in a kind of football-ish top. Hello.
I went to a civil ceremony.
You went to a civil ceremony?
During which a woman pulls a chain of flags out of her vagina using a vacuum cleaner.
I hope you heard that at home. During a civil ceremony, during which a woman pulled a chain of flags out of her vagina using a vacuum cleaner. Was it a stunt, or was it just there been a terrible accident? Is there any reason for that? Was it an entertainment laid on at a civil?
She was a friend of one of the
people. She thought, well, it's a wedding. I'll do my party trick. Has anyone got a Hoover? Don't worry, I've got the flags. I use the same flags each time. Thank you, that's quite good. Anyone else? Can anyone top that? I doubt it. Has anyone seen anything better than that this week? Any more? Hello, right at the back. Shout out loud and clear.
It occurred to me that children can be both very funny and very evil.
Children can be very funny and very evil. I'm kind of in tenterhooks here to know which way this is going to go. This could be one of the edits in the show.
I work at a school and I was asked to go on a geography field trip.
Works in a school, went on a geography field trip.
I went to meet some of the kids on a very busy high street.
Yeah.
And I was talking to them about the work they'd done. Yeah. And two of the girls in my class thought it would be hilarious to point at me in the crowded street and shout at the top of their voices, "Stranger danger!"
And were you sent to prison?
Reassuring.
That was probably the worst thing you could have done, to smile in a way that he thought was reassuring. I imagine that would ring a few alarm bells. Good. Did you were their teacher?
Yes.
Yeah. Good. It's good to see the respect is there. you can't even blame Grange Hill for that. It's not on anymore. They didn't copy that off Grange Hill. Is there a hand over there, or is that just someone having a wank? Man playing, trying to touch the woman in front of him. Anyone else? Yes, madam.
It's my birthday tomorrow.
It's your birthday tomorrow? That's not good enough! Go fuck you! Fuck you! You useless whore! If it's your birthday today, that would be something. That's someone ever... It still wouldn't be good enough. Fuck off, you bearded buffoon. That's not enough. There's 200 people in here. If you have 22 people in the same room, there's a 50-50 chance that two of them share the same birthday. There's 150 people in this room, at least.
You're not that popular.
I'm not. I'm not as popular as Italy versus Paraguay. That is what we've discovered tonight. If only I had that excuse the other weeks. Yes, my darling, I hope you're going to be nicer than the other mean people. What has occurred to you this week?
It occurred to me that you're my birthday present.
It occurred to her that I'm her birthday present.
Let me look at this simple
child. She looks all right. She looks okay.
Don't
unfortunately, my girlfriend's in tonight, so it's either going to be a brilliant night or just bye. Depends how much she wants to wish you a happy birthday, I guess. By the sounds of it, it's not going well. I think I might be pushed into the Thames tomorrow, for real. Happy birthday. That is your present. hello. What are you going to get me into trouble? I'm also his birthday present. It's going to turn into a big... It's lucky I've got a bifurcated penis, isn't it? Yes, Ian.
Yeah, you're my girlfriend's birthday present next week.
Next week?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. I hope you're just talking about tickets to the show, right? Or am I contractually obliged to have sex with everyone who comes here? Because if so, it is disappointing that the attendance is so low.
Christian just said a very funny joke to me then.
What was it?
He said, "This is like Spartacus." He was too shy to tell you.
If it's you, Christian, it's like Co-opticus. Better than they gave it there. Better. Sometimes just speed is more important than actually the thing being funny. Spa's a supermarket as well. I thought that might help. One more that isn't about that. Hello, yes.
I met a North Korean yesterday and asked how he was let out to watch football.
You met a North Korean?
Yeah, and asked how he was let and out. How to watch
is this football? A terrible racist thing that's coming from Nottingham? They don't let North Koreans out. They don't let them out.
South Korea plays yesterday, South Korea.
No, he played the day before. It was in Rome, but he was the next day.
Okay.
So they let next day late.
I don't think we're making it any better. We might need another one to add. So there's been enough. Thank you. I hate the Koreans. Which, if you had to choose one of North Korea, South Korea, if you had to choose one, which side would you support?
North.
Fucking racist against the South Koreans, just like her. So I'd say neither. I'd choose all of Korea. Give Korea back to the Koreans. That's what I say. Give Korea back to the Irish as well. Hello, yes, save me from this. You went to a deaf funeral. It's a fine line, isn't it? It's a fine line. It occurred to that deaf people don't know how to shut up. That's fine, apparently. This audience has a strange moral compass that seems to be all over the place. It's good, yeah. We're all equal. Let's just be rude about everyone equally. Anyone want to have a go at the blind now? Just balance things up. One more. And then, yes, don't make it a horrible thing. He's reconsidering. Oh, I'll have to change. I killed someone from Pakistan. Sorry, sir. Yes, what?
I came back from holiday yesterday morning.
You came back from holiday yesterday morning?
It occurred to me that when we picked up my dog from the kennels that he'd got a foot infection.
It occurred to you that... I like the way everyone's been this very formal... It occurred to me... Which is nice, that doesn't usually happen, but that's good. It occurred to you, so you came from Holly, your dog had got a foot infection in the kennels, was it? Or is it someone looking after you?
No, it's in the kennels.
Yeah, in the kennels, that shouldn't happen, in the kennels.
Picked up my cat.
You picked up your cat?
Got cystitis.
Your cat had got cystitis? How do you know about that? How do you tell if a cat has cystitis? When I was fucking it, I noticed the end of my knob started tingling in a bit of a hard way. How do you know the cat...
Apparently, it's got blood in its urine.
It's got blood in its urine. That's how you tell. Apparently, you don't have sex with a cat to find out if it's got cystitis. Just look and see if it's got blood in its urine. Ironically, if you try and have sex with it to find out if it does, it probably will have blood in its urine. What did you make me do? Yes, does it go? Does it go on? Well, you had a parakeet with. Parakeet.
Before I went on holiday, there was
genital warts. What? So before you went on holiday, what?
There wasn't any blood on my cock from fucking the cat.
Can we edit all of this out, Ben?
See, now
can we put one of the
coming.
ITV adverts over the top of the pat patched in over
it, the... It's now becoming clear why this audience weren't in remotely shocked by my arse rape by a Pipperfield back comment.
You started it, Emma Kennedy. You
know,
set
I'm
the ball
sorry.
Rolling on this.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, thank you, everyone. Sometimes it's great going out into the audience. It looked like it was going to be a good one. We had the civil ceremony, women pulling flags out of a vagina, and everyone thought, I can't beat that. I'm just going to have to be racist, have a go at the disabled, rape animals. Just sometimes it's the way it goes. Start with the rubbish ones and then build up. Next time that happens and someone asks you to tell the story, do it at the end, which may be what happens in the edit. So, Christian.
As it occurs to me, if I had to listen to one podcast while being bummed by Chris Akabusi, it would be this one.
I deliberately moved this forward, back a bit in the script because it was near another piece of bumming material, not knowing that we'd be talking about cat rape and flags coming out of vaginas. That just looks like I'm obsessed with... And it's nothing to do with me. That is a 5-star for once iTunes review from Vincent Twice there. Back in October 2009 he wrote that. I hope your dream comes true, Vincent. You're a dreamer like another Vincent, aren't you? I don't know if Chris Akabusi listens to this show, but if he does and he's interested in bumming Vincent Twice, or even just wants to see how it works out for him, whilst they listen to AI Otima. Then do get in touch. It might be nice if you do the actual bumming as you listen to the sting that brought you together, but all the stuff on here is good for bumming too. It's mostly what I have in mind when I'm writing. I'm thinking, is this setting the mood for bumming? Yeah, I think so. So maybe just put your MP3 player on shuffle, let the good times begin. Let us know how you get on, because I hope you do tape it, because if Chris Akabusi sounds like that when he's laughing, I'd love to know how he sounds when he's ejaculating in another man's anus. Though I have a feeling that Chris Akabusi prefers Bukkake. That's my feeling.
Wednesday.
On Wednesday, I was filming some extras of my Hitler Moustache DVD in the shops in October with Andrew Collings and Chris Evans, not that one from Go Faster Stripe. I expect many of you have come here tonight, especially because you're hoping to see tiny Andrew Collings in the flesh. It's a popular character. He does have to be seen to be believed. He's a strange, furry, 3-foot-tall creature. It's a bit like a cheekaboo, which is apparently something only I remember from the 1980s. It was an unhelpful... There was a girl in our school who looked like a cheekaboo. Hope she's all right. And this is Andrew Collins. He's got big golem-like eyes and the face of Mark Steele crossed with Mr. Bean. But I'm afraid to tell you, audience, you'll be disappointed to hear that the real Andrew Collins has told me he no longer will allow me to represent him in cartoon sketch forms. Because Andrew Collins, it seems, is like the Northampton Mohammed. It's disappointing and ludicrous, I know, but we have to respect the deeply held religious convictions of others, no matter how patently stupid they are. So that's Andrew Collins I'm talking about there, if any Muslims are listening. Your ideas are good. So he won't be in the show this week, I'm sorry to say, but why don't you just imagine he's standing in the background of this sketch, saying something and then saying aside and then saying the opposite of the thing he's just said. If you think that's funny, just imagine that. Anyway, I was just chaining up my newly mended bike, and a Spanish guy rushed up to me.
Can I shake you by the hand? I am a massive fan of yours. You are my hero.
I was a bit surprised about that because I didn't know I had many Spaniard fans, but I was all like, yeah, of course. Aside, damn, why isn't Chris Evans filming this? I'll look like a proper superstar. He probably recognises me from Heads Up with Richard Herring, my popular Poker Zone chat show. Did you get that in America? No, you haven't seen that. It's good. He'll be coming in the fall. Yes, that's right. Or the autumn. But then he said,
your passion for food is inspirational.
And I said, thanks. But then I considered what he said for a second and thought, oh, maybe he's mistaken me for someone else. But maybe not, because I clearly do have a passion for food, as anyone looking at my stomach in this Hong Kong Fui t-shirt will know. And we had just been literally eating in Nando's earlier. Maybe you'd seen the voracious manner in which I tore apart that chicken, getting every single piece of meat off it, or just spotted parts of its picked clean skeleton down my cardigan. But most likely I think he'd seen me being filmed and thought I must be someone famous, and then thought I was someone else. Some people sometimes say I look a bit like the chef, the chef, James Martin, though I don't think I do anymore. I've got a big beard at the moment, really long hair, and I'm much older and uglier than him. So someone else said maybe he's thinking I was Marco Pierre White, which is more insulting, or one of the hairy bikers, which is more insulting, or possibly James Corden. That would be the worst. But I could have told him he was wrong, but he was so effusive and happy to see me, it would have been embarrassing and humiliating to point out his error. So I just said, oh, thanks, that means a lot to me. And I hoped he would leave then, having got that. But instead, he said,
can I have a photo of the two of us together?
And I knew if he did this, he would take that photo away to show to his friends and say,
look at me with my hero, James Martin.
And they'd say,
that's no James Martin. That's just some fat bloke who looks like an aged Jesus.
Maybe perhaps he did think I was Jesus, because he had a passion for food. He was a bit of a glutton and a wine bibber, by all accounts. And he was so passionate about food, he could make a bit of bread and some fish feed 5,000 people. He'd have been a whiz on Ready, Steady, Cook. So, but I let him take the picture anyway, leaving happy, thinking he'd met someone that he hadn't in fact met. But I felt kind of bad. I don't know if anyone see. I'm just quite delighted to know who he thought. Anyone got any ideas who he could think? Anthony Worrell Thompson. Ainsley Harriet. See, someone who isn't racist, they can't even see colour. That's it's a beautiful
Sophie
thing.
Sophie Gregson.
Sophie Gregson. That one's all right. Thank you. Thank you, Ian. So, Charlie Borman, do you think? No, he's 3 foot taller than me. Anyway, so if you know the Spanish man, or you are the Spanish, maybe he does like me. I don't really have a passion for food. Anyway, over to you, Christian.
As it occurs to me, I missed Italy versus Paraguay for this shit. I wouldn't even miss Algeria versus Slovenia for this cack.
Thursday.
Talking of Jesus, I was doing some research for my Edinburgh Fringe show, Christ on a Bike, the second coming at the Assembly Rooms all through August, and I was reading the Gospel according to Matthew. I don't know if any Christians have actually read the Bible or thought about what it says for 1 second, but it really is a load of fucking shit. Honestly, just palpable, contradictory nonsense which stomps all over common sense and historical fact. This is what Matthew says about the three kings.
And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was.
So the three kings followed a star which led them to a specific house / stable, did they? So what altitude do you think this star must have been at to be able to indicate a specific house? Maybe 50 feet from the ground maximum? The smallest stars in the universe are red dwarfs, which have a diameter of about 200,000 kilometres. You'd think more people would have spotted that if it was just 50 feet above the ground, wouldn't you? Just before gravity pulled the earth into it and burnt it to a crisp. But maybe it was a special tiny magic star, the size of a football that God had invented specially, which wasn't hot at all, so couldn't burn stuff up, that could move along and then stop and hover in one place. That would make sense. But you'd think if that was the case, this kind of shining football in the sky, quite an unusual occurrence, wouldn't it? You might have been mentioned somewhere else in history, this incredible star, or at least everyone in the area would have come down to have a look to see what the fuck was going on. No, just three kings and some shepherds thought that was worth having a look at. Grow up, Christians, it's made up. My favourite thing about Matthew's Gospel is the way it makes King Herod look like a fucking idiot. The three kings came to Jerusalem looking for the newborn king of the Jews, which worries Herod a bit because he is the king of the Jews. So he gets his holy men together, they work out this baby will be in Bethlehem. He's got that information, but instead of sending his army to Bethlehem to search for the baby and kill it, he calls the three kings to him, pretending to be their friend, and says,
go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.
Very well, King Herod, we shall do that.
Promise?
Yes.
All three of you?
Yes.
Good, good. Yeah, right. Well, see you later.
when you've gone to Bethlehem and back. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thanks for the stuff. Thanks for the food.
Ha ha ha! The fucking idiots! They have fallen for my brilliant trick. When they tell me where this Messiah is, I won't worship him. I will kill him. Ha ha ha! Brilliant.
Yes. It's a good trick, King Herod.
Yeah, it is.
But as your chief advisor, I have to question your decision there. If there is a child born nearby that will be king of the Jews.
Yep.
We should find him ASAP, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, we should. And I don't think you're listening to my plan. We will find out where he is when those three complete strangers come back and tell us, and then we can kill him.
Yes. What if they don't come back, though?
I made them promise they would.
Yes, but what if they don't? Or what if in the time it takes them to come back, the baby's taken somewhere else?
Right.
Why not just go along with the three complete strangers now? Yeah. Or follow them, find out where the baby is, and kill it straight away?
No, I think my plan's better. We'll wait for their return, and in the unlikely event that doesn't work, in a couple of weeks I'll get my soldiers to go to Bethlehem and kill all the children under 2 years old.
Rather than just doing something about it now and killing just the one child you want to kill.
Yes, that's definitely best, yeah.
Right. You see, we know the baby's in Bethlehem right now.
Yeah, sure.
And if you're intent on killing all the children, wouldn't it be easier if you told the soldiers to do that now rather than give him the opportunity to escape and become king of the Jews like you're scared of?
No. I just think my plan of waiting patiently for the three complete strangers to come back will work.
Right. Because there are reports coming in from Bethlehem of quite an unusual phenomenon where a star is hovering above a stable and skies are full of angels and stuff. It's just a crazy guess, but I reckon that might be where the new king is. So, just in case, why don't we just get word to your soldiers in town and go and kill everyone in that house? Why don't you do that?
Look, if I killed everyone in a house every time a star came within 50 feet of the ground and hovered above them with all the angels in the sky and the magi coming from the east to give them expensive presents, then I wouldn't have many subjects left to govern, would I? In any case, I happen to know this baby can't be Christ because I'm going to die in 4 BC before he's even born. And anyway, what they...
Germs. Germs are everywhere. Think you're safe with your liquid soap? Well, you're wrong. Because we at Dettol have sent people round to every supermarket in the country, injecting our rival soap with soap-resistant rat syphilis. So buy our soap, or you will die.
Oh. I wrote that.
Oh, my God. He's done it again. Wow. Oh, my God. Richard Keith, I think that might be the funniest punchline to a sketch there has ever been.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought the King Herod sketch was a bit overlong and pedestrian, but now I see it was all leading up to that. It was just absolutely genius.
Incredible. I mean, that joke alone is going to win us the Sony Award, yeah?
Not just that joke, £1,400.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, the three kings didn't come back because the angel of the Lord came to them in a dream. Matthew uses that device quite a lot. I think he might have written for the series Medium at some point as well, because it is just every time something happens he has to explain away. Oh, then they have a dream. But like in the Medium, the dream doesn't just explain everything straight away. It does it in kind of three dramatic chunks. So he knew how to make a story work. Because anyway, that was just a little aside. The angel of the Lord came to them in a dream and told them not to. I can't help thinking if the angel of the Lord had appeared to the three kings in a dream earlier and told them not to visit Herod in the first place, that might have saved all the lives of those little infants who were needlessly slaughtered. It's almost like the angel of the Lord wanted all those kids to get killed. Like the angel of the Lord was watching it happen and wanking about it. Do you want to worship a Lord who has perverted child-killing angels like that? Because it turns my stomach to think of it doing that.
As it occurs to me, as shepherds wash their cocks at night, all watching ITV, the angel of the Lord came down and taking advantage of the distraction afforded by an inadvertent advertising break. Masturbated over some dead baby.
That's what really happened. And if this podcast gets found in 1,000 years' time and people mistake it for a gospel, that is what it is.
Oh, it's me, Susan Boyle. Sibyl here. I am not mental. I'm battling Dalamus in Scotland. They're very, very upset for ye. We were not. I stood on my head, got out my hairy clack-a-tack-tack, and let Rapsy Nesbit play me like a vuvuzela. It sounded better than the bagpipes, especially when I trumped. Anywho, got to go because my boyfriend's here. Oh, yes, Subo's got the boyfriend, a guy that knew. Who could it be? It's Tom Neal! How are you doing, Tom?
Okay, I am as happy as a dog with two expensive bookcases. Let's be doing our duet.
Oh, the duet!
We're on the bus. Come on, Subo. You won't get to number one.
Oh, yeah, run the match with a lizard. Or me. Oh, I will go to have to
tea. And we're in Scotland.
When we're in the World Cup. Yeah, Scotland is the greatest football team. Blow me the booze of us.
Yeah, like I said, I'll be up at the Edinburgh Fringe this August. If anyone in Scotland wants to have a word with me about anything, that's where the assembly room's 9:45. Anyway, now let's go over to Christian Riley for one of his weekly topical songs. I wonder what's caught his musical satirical eye. Last week was quite serious, wasn't it? It was about the Palestine and Israel. I wonder what he'll choose this week. Let's find out.
Okay, this is a song from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's a brand new song. Yeah, they're great. And they're the best band ever. And they've written a song about the BP environmental disaster. It's really good because all their songs, they're usually about sex. This is just like totally different. It's about the dangers of deep drilling. You know how a big build-up of briny fluid can lead to a blowout. And it's called Spill Your Mess.
What you got is a big fat drill bit, and you're drilling so hard and deep with it. No one's drilled that deep in this history. You gotta slow down because it seems to me you're gonna spill your mess, spill your mess, spill your mess now. Spill your mess, spill your mess, spill your mess now. Spill your mess, spill your mess, spill your mess now. Oh, relax, don't do it. When you're drilling and you want to spew it, you got dirty water building up in your wellhead. Overstimulated, underregulated. Blowout preventer has disintegrated in you. Spill your mess, spill your mess, spill your mess now. Spill your mess, spill your mess, spill your mess now. Spill your mess, spill your mess, spill your mess now. This is really a song about chism. Spill your mess, spill your mess, spill. Come on now. Spill your mess, spill. Everybody, spill your mess now. Spill your mess, spill your mess, spill your mess. Everybody, just the girls. Spill your mess now. Spill your mess. Finished.
Christian Riley, ladies and gentlemen. Christian Riley. Wasn't as political as last week's. If you are a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan, by the way, you're a fan of this podcast, I'm afraid you're going to have to choose one or the other. seriously, you're not allowed to be both. So I want you to make a decision now. You can choose them if you want, but if you choose them, you're never allowed to listen to this podcast ever again. I hate them, they're shit. No, you have to choose. You can only listen to this podcast if you throw away all your Red Hot Chili Pepper records. Or just throw one away 100 times, because that's how they make them in reverse. So anyway, there are just, thanks for listening in. There are just 3 shows left in the series, thank God. So do come down and join in the fun if you can. Next Monday's the last show here at the Leicester Square Theatre. Then we're at the Bloomsbury Theatre on June the 28th and July the 5th. See www.richardherring.com/gigs for all details. Tickets are also on sale for our one-off Edinburgh AI Ottoma. On the 17th of August, head to www.assemblyfestival.com and book now, because there's only a few tickets there, so get in quickly. You can also book tickets for Christ on a Bike at that website, or at www.edfringe.com, where you can also get tickets for the 10 live Edinburgh Collins and Herring podcast, if we're still working together at that point. Hope you can make it. If you want an AI Ottoma t-shirt, then search for AI Ottoma at www.mysotti.com. No, that's true. It's mysoti.com. They're good. No, but really, everyone, they've all sold like one copy each, so if you get them, they're
really Richard. Yes. Richard. No, it's me, Tony, Andrew Collins.
No. So he's not allowed on the show anymore. The real Andrew Collins literally forbade me for letting you on. He'll be furious.
No, I'm not here to make trouble, Richard. I know the real Andrew Collins doesn't like me.
Doesn't he? Hates you.
No, I've learnt my lesson. Aside. There is no aside. I really have learnt my lesson. I just want to retire to Northampton with my wife and mother.
That's the same person.
Yeah, same person, obviously, yeah. And to care for my son, tiny, tiny Andrew.
Oh, well. Good. I'm glad. That's good. You should do that. That's a good idea.
It just tiny, tiny Andrew went out this morning. And he hasn't come home. Me and tiny Mrs. Collins are distraught. You don't know where he is, do you, Richard? I love him so much. I don't know what I would do if anything happened to him. Aside, I do know. I would cry forever.
The thing is, I don't really know where he is. I don't know why I said really. I have no idea where he is.
Hold on. That looks like a pile of his clothes. Over there, all crumpled up and covered in ketchup and tiny human brains. Oh, what's that boy been up to?
No, nothing. Keep away from that. It's nothing. Don't look at it.
Tiny Andrew. No. No. What happened to him? He's dead. I hate you, God.
Well, don't get melodramatic. He wasn't real. He was just a fictional character. His death was just a sound effect and Emma Kennedy making a funny noise. That's all.
He was still my son. And you killed him? I will avenge his death.
Good! I'm glad. Can you kill me now so I don't have to write him all these stupid scripts?
Oh no, that would be too easy. I'm going to stretch out my revenge over the next 3 weeks. Oh yeah. So that you still have to go through the torture of writing 3 more scripts.
Good, I'm glad, because if I'm dead, at least I won't have to listen to your stupid voice.
Yeah, you will, Richard Herring. For to die is to sleep. To sleep, a chance to dream. And in that sleep of death, what dreams may come? Shakespeare didn't know, because he's a fucking idiot. But I can tell you, your death sleep dreams will all be me saying yes, aside, no, aside, yes, aside, no, aside. Garlic bread for all eternity.
Please just leave me alone. Get out of here.
Oh, I will for now. Goodbye. Exit. Pursued by a bear. Oh shit.
Tiny Andrew Collins there, my fictional nemesis. And also a bear. was a little reference to Shakespeare's The Winter's Tale there. Some of you may have spotted the clever ones who got the Milton one earlier, probably spotted that. Do you spot that? It was The Winter's Tale, quite obscure. It gives the show a veneer of intellectualism, which immediately fades away when you think about it for a second and realise it meant nothing at all. And the rest of the show was just about bumming and baby death and nothing else this week. And fucking cats as well, and rats. Bats. Anyway, tune in next week for more of the same to see if my imagination is capable of destroying my actual physical being. This is like Pirandello, but unlike Pirandello, I'll probably say clack-a-lack-a-dack-dack at some point, because I rule. See you next time. Bye.
As It Occurs to Me was written and performed by Richard Herring with me, Dan Tatsell, and TV's Emma Kennedy. Christian Riley did all the musical bits. It was produced by Ben Walker. With thanks to Damien Caldwell, Kelly Enfield, Alice Russell, Matt Ricardo, Rob Tedspear, and everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. A special thanks to Orange Mark and British Comedy Guide. This is an Avalon Sky Potato, Vulva or Vulcan or Vuvuzela or Fuzz or whatever Ben Walker's calling the production company this week. Production for anyone who fancies a listen.
Thanks very much for coming. Thank you. Tell your friends. Three more shows.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.